listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media that is dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and during this broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our chat here on the EmotionalPro.com radio page, and you can also call in and talk to us directly by dialing 800-630-7858. That's 800-630-7858. Now, we've been scheduled to feature Qigong Master Chunyi Lin. And because of technical difficulties, we seem unable to connect with him this morning. And so we are going to modify our show for you and talk instead about a new program that my co-host, Dakey Fox, and I are offering on the Women's Information Network. Let me tell you a little bit about the Women's Information Network. It was founded a few years back by a woman named Paula Fellingham, who is a professional speaker. She also happens to have a PhD and to be the mother of 7 children. And a few years back, she went on a cross-country speaking tour, teaching people how to write books and to live their lives better. And she was quite successful. And yet, when she got home, she realized 2 things. 1, she had missed her family terribly. And 2, she was not wanting to leave home again for a long, long time. And it got her to thinking about how many women there are in the world who also need to make money to help their families, need to have a professional identity, and yet don't wish to spend large amounts of time away from home. And wouldn't they be better served if they could actually work from home, bring benefit to other people, and make money in the process? And that's when she came up with the idea for the Women's Information Network. That network is now a reality. It's based in the Salt Lake City, Utah area at this point in time, but that means actually nothing because we have the U.S. Women's Information Network and soon to be coming the China Women's Information Network, the Australian Women's Information Network, and the Indian Women's Information Network. Paula Fellingham started this when she was close to 60 years old and has just been going gangbusters. Go check out the Win Online, thewinonline.com. There you will find close to 300 radio and television shows that you can watch in 10 to 15 minutes at a time. They're focused on every aspect of life and success and problem solving that you might want to have. And in addition to that, you could, if you have a product, if you make jewelry or you have an invention, you can actually sell your product on the Women's Information Network. In addition to that, the show hosts who are working on the Women's Information Network are getting a plethora of programs to help them build their business. I'm about to start a master class in giving teleseminars, for example, that has been set up for me and many other show hosts to do. And we have conferences, all kinds of things. And the idea is that it's the premier network in support of women and families nationally. And lest any men feel left out who are listening to this broadcast, I will tell you that we do have men who are hosts on the Women's Information Network. And there is a very open, welcoming position in terms of men. There's a trend right now for women and the feminine spirit to be coming to the surface of things. And many people, we featured a program here on Full Power Living about the breakdown of the patriarchy. And therefore, there's a huge emphasis on the feminine spirit and women at this point, where they're kind of taking more center stage, us women are, than we have for many generations. Excuse me. And so that's why the emphasis. But the interesting and wonderful thing about women is we also give birth to boys, and we love boys and men, and therefore they are also included, even if that's not the primary focus. So I want to assure you of that. Well, on the Women's Information Network, I was invited to come and do a program. And I thought, why not two programs? Because I'm a glutton for doing lots of things. And I'm also in a time of life where I'm very interested in doing as much of the work and teaching and giving that I have inside of me as I possibly can. And who did I call but somebody you've heard here on Full Power Living many times, because she has been gracious enough to come on and co-host with me since 2004. I can't tell you how many times Dakey Fox has worked with me to create entire programs for you. She's taken no money for it. She gets nothing but my thanks and your appreciation. And so who did I call and say, would you like to start two new programs on the Women's Information Network? Life coach Dakey Fox. And so, of course, when we had technical difficulties and couldn't find our guests this morning in a timely manner, what did we do? We called life coach Dakey Fox. Dakey, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. And so here you are, like Mighty Mouse. You know, Mighty Mouse used to say, here I come to save the day. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So Dakey's shorter than I am, so I'm going to just refer to her as Mighty Mouse from now on. So Dakey, I thought it would be a great idea for us to talk about these other shows and what's behind them and what we want to accomplish with them. And let's start with the one that we've had going the longest, because we're starting up a new one now. Let's talk about Building Conscious Families. What's your take on what Building Conscious Families is all about?
Well, my love of being able to discover and speak and explore with the people who listen as well as you in Building Conscious Families is because I believe that we're at a time when we're making a shift as humans, and I feel it's a transformational shift. And the shift, I think, is I have one focus on it that continues to inform me, and it's one that says we're moving from a perception of the world as a thing that we can mine the resources of and use to support us, and that we are the top of the food chain kind of thing in this environment. And instead to see the world and everything in it, instead of as things, as energy. And for what that's worth, what it means is that we start knowing that we're a part of the world and the world is part of us. And what that leads to is an understanding of consciousness. It's not just about doing things, it's about who you are and what the energy is that you run. And the reason that we're focusing in that way on Building Conscious Families is because these are families that will be living in our future. And what is it that we need to prepare us for a future where our whole perception of how things are makes a dramatic and transformational shift towards a different kind of authority? It's an authority for everything in and of itself. And it's not the same kind of hierarchical understanding that, well, actually we're steeped in. We accept a hierarchical way of viewing things. And at this point in time, that's not serving us so well. We're instead, you know, needing to move into a more cooperative, collaborative understanding of the expression of everyone's gifts in a new way. I think that kind of sums up what I see as building conscious families.
Of course,
there's all the details.
Right.
How's that for a start?
Yeah, you continue to blow me away, girl. I just really I appreciate you. And let me just sort of fill in a little bit. You and I met many, many, many years ago. You're the mother of twin daughters who are now nearing 30 years old, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And they were about a year old at that time, so it was about 29.
6 months. It was their 6-month birthday when I met you.
Oh, wow. Okay, so they were 6 months old. And I gave a speech to the Coastside Mothers of Twins group. And you attended that lecture. And I was talking with people after the lecture was over. And this woman walked up to me, threw her arms around me, pressed her head into my chest, and said to me, "Will you be my mommy?" That's how we met. Do you recall that?
Yeah, I also recall that you had some trepidation.
Well, it was a surprise. But what grew out of that has been a long friendship and cross-fertilization that has gone on for years and years and years. And you and I have had the pleasure of actually working out together, sharing the ideas that we offer in building conscious families. And we've also had the pleasure of watching our children. Yours were 6 months. Mine were a little older than that. Let's see, Jonathan is about 4 years older than your girls. So
right.
So mine were 4 and 11 at the time. And we were able to utilize spiritual concepts, our desire to do things better than we had experienced, to raise our children in a different way. And that different way now forms the foundation of what it is that we're doing on building conscious families.
You know, and I'd like to add something to that, Eileen, because there's a big difference between the resources available now and the kind of resources that I had at my disposal 30 years ago. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you saved my spiritual and practically sane life, because you were someone who understood the way I saw the way I wanted to raise my children and the relationship that I wanted to have with them, which was as much a partnership as a responsibility on my part. And now I am thrilled to see all of the resources, all of the books, all of the things that have been written, and how many people are living in a more conscious way in their lives and with their families and their children.
Right.
And I think what I want to say about that in relation to our show, and you know, I'll be interested to see how you take to this, because we haven't ever discussed it, but hey, why not in public?
Right.
And that is that our approach is an experiential one, even yours and mine. We have many decades of experience and many, how can I say, resources and learnings that we've both participated in. So we're educated and we're experienced. And yet what we try to do at the Building Conscious Families program is we're just trying to talk to people who are in the situations they're in. We are experts, but we're experts because we're willing to experience exactly what's happening in this moment. It's a very practical approach and very conversational, and it doesn't require that you be really smart, so to speak, to listen in and to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? Do you think that's where you're at, too?
I think it's definitely so that it's very experiential, and it was born out of need. I was a single parent when I developed the things that I worked with, and what I was looking at was that I saw that the way people parented me and the generations before me was that the parent was the head of the family, and the parent had the job of imparting knowledge and information to the child, and it was much more of a one-way street than what we talk about in building conscious families. And I realized that my children were in a very fast-paced world, and that it was quite likely, very likely. In fact, it was going to happen that my children were going to be getting themselves into situations that I had never experienced, and I wouldn't be able to offer them even an idea of how to deal with these new experiences, and I certainly couldn't prepare them ahead of time. And so I thought, what is it that they will need in order to stay balanced and on track? And what I believed was that they would need something that came from inside of them. They would need a connection with themselves so that whenever they got in any situation, they would know how to conduct themselves. So let me just use Betsy and Peanut Butter as an example of that. This is a little story that I've told. It's a real life experience. When my daughter was 3 and going to nursery school, one day I invited her to make lunch with me. We were going to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and she was very excited about it. I put a new jar of peanut butter out on the countertop. I stood her on a chair next to the countertop, and then I realized there was no bread in the kitchen. Well, it wasn't even 12 steps away that I had to go to the refrigerator that we had on the front porch. And so I told her, now, don't move. I'll be right back. And I ran to the refrigerator, grabbed a loaf of bread, came back in, and there was my 3-year-old standing over a broken jar of peanut butter. And she was crying. And she was saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I thought to myself, how awful that this poor child is feeling so bad about peanut butter. Her whole life is being upset here about one jar of peanut butter. So I got next to her and I put my hand on her chest up high, which is the fear center, and I started rubbing it and I started asking her, who's more important, Betsy or peanut butter? Who's more important, Betsy or peanut butter? Peanut butter, she said. And I said, really? Peanut butter is more important? Can we get another jar of peanut butter? Well, we lived up on the side of a hill, and we didn't go to the grocery store a whole lot, so I could understand why she thought we couldn't get another jar of peanut butter. So I said, if we want to, can we get in the car, go down the hill, and get a jar of peanut butter? And she said, yes. And I said, where can we get another Betsy? And she said, I don't know. And I said, that's right. We can always get another jar of peanut butter, but we can never get another Betsy. In fact, in all of time, wherever we go, there will never be another Betsy just like you. Now, who's more important, Betsy or peanut butter? And she said, Betsy. And I said, right. We can always get more things, but we can never get another you. And that means that always what the peace, the good feeling you have in your heart is more important than anything. And that's why Betsy's more important than peanut butter. Now, that was a profound lesson when she was 3. But when she was 12, we put her on a plane to go visit my brother in Southern California, and we got off on the wrong freeway exit and got lost and didn't get to the airport in time, and the airlines who were looking after her coming from LA up here would not locked her into a room and wouldn't let her deal with herself, even though she was quite mature, and she was very angry about it. And what did she do? She sat there, started to get upset, and suddenly said, who's more important, Betsy or peanut butter? And she got out a book and read until we got there. Now, she was irritated that we weren't there, but she used that. You see, we went from one thing to the next. She used what she had inside of her to deal with a situation that I never would have anticipated.
Yes, and this is that great example of we don't know what challenges are going to come along and that we're going to encounter, that our children will encounter. And there are just some basic principles about their uniqueness and the development of their own inner resource and their sense of self that we're learning how to do. And I think that's just a great example. I mean, you could go on because that woman is now in her later 30s, is she not?
No, she just turned 40 this summer.
She just turned 40. Oh, my God. And her family is just an incredible example of the payback that comes when we deal with our children in this kind of energetically respectful manner.
Right, and I must say, she has improved on my techniques, which, I mean, they really are. I mean, I know they're my grandchildren, but they're incredible people. They really are. We need to take a break here, Dakey, so you're listening to Full Power Living, and we'll be talking more about building conscious families in our new program, Emotionally Speaking, when we return. This is Eileen Dillon, along with Dakey Fox. We'll be right back.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? To take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes? Or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com. Hi, welcome back to Full Power Living. This is Eileen Dillon along with life coach Dakey Fox. And due to technical difficulties, we've had a little format change today. We will have the opportunity to visit with Qigong Master Chunyi Lin at another time, which I very much look forward to. His material is wonderful. But in the meantime, we're telling you a little bit about our programs that we're hosting on the Women's Information Network. We've been talking about building conscious families. So what we're doing on building conscious families, Dakey, is offering what we've learned. You had said, well, it was experiential. I would add that I have written 10 manuals for parents to help their children deal with emotions that were originally entitled Exploring Anger with Your Child. Now they're called the ABCs of Anger. And so I have taken this material off a parenting course that I've taught in Australia and on shipboard and in the United States. And I've taught many, many classes across the country in the United States as well. And so it's not just my experience or your experience. We have really tried this method out, this approach, with hundreds and hundreds of people all across the globe. And it has continuously turned out incredible human beings. In fact, one of the ways that I like to look at what I call conscious parenting, which is the foundation of building conscious families, is that it allows children to remain the incredible beings they are at the moment of birth. We don't get off track so much as many of us have done and then have to fight our way back to find out who we really are. And that's a real key and speaks to, I think, the increased spiritual base that we use in building conscious families.
Yeah, and I think that there's also the naming of consciousness and the focus on consciousness in both parenting and the family is about the way in which we relate to each other, not just how to do things. So it's the process of our living and the way we work with all things that show up, and it's less about what's the exact right thing to do, but they do interact. And so what's right to do and what brings the result that is, as we've put it, not only beneficial in the moment and honoring of the uniqueness and the contribution of every person, but it's also about how it's going to work in the future. The process you use is much more useful than just doing it right. If you understand how you're doing things and what's important to you and you stay with that, that'll always be with you.
Well, that's interesting because, in fact, I don't even believe in wrong and right in that sense.
Yes, it's true. That doesn't exist in a process orientation.
Right. And you were talking about how it was experientially based. And in fact, that's it. What I really looked at was what's functional and what's not functional, what works and what doesn't work. And again, all with an eye to, number one, respecting that what we have in our family is someone who's more akin to a visitor from another culture than somebody we can yell at or order around or whatever, as has been done in many families, especially in the way long past. So we have a conscious being there who's like a guest in our home, and we want to work with them and we want to teach them what we know about this place. But secondly, they've come here to do something. We don't always know what that is, and we are the facilitators. We help them set up their lives to facilitate their completion of whatever their life purpose is, assuming, if you will, that there is a life purpose for each of us. And we do that with a great deal of respect, and we also do it with a sense of adventure, because whenever something comes up, what I always taught my children is anytime you have an experience, it's an opportunity to learn something. And when you learn, you grow. And so there's a spirit of adventure because you and your children are growing together. And that makes us co-teachers and co-family creators also.
Well, and you know, this morning I have a bookmark in my calendar, and this morning before you called asking if I could join you for this discussion, I happened to read it. You know, it's like one of those things that's around all the time, and it's so interesting that it so addresses what you're saying, and it's a quote from Albert Einstein, who of course I think is more generally understood to or remembered or known for his statement about imagination is more important than knowledge. Mm. And that's that energy, is that the imagination. But here's the quote, and it speaks so much to what you're saying. The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. The more I realize I don't know, the more I want to learn. In the middle of every difficulty lies opportunity. I think and think for months and years. 99 times the conclusion is false. The 100th time, I'm right. With deeper reflection, one knows from daily life that one exists for other people. The most important thing is not to stop questioning.
Wow.
Inherent in that is all the respect that we're speaking of here, the respect for learning about one another and about life and with each other, the connectedness, and the importance of questioning, not just having answers, but being able to question.
Right. Wow. Well, let me put a few more little pieces in here, and then I want to be sure that we have time to talk about emotionally speaking as well, because it very much relates to this program. The format that we follow is we put out 10 to 15 minute programs, one each week, and we have a blog, and we invite our audience to interact with us, to try out some of the things we talk about, to share their experiences with us and ask their questions. And so if you haven't checked out the Women's Information Network, go on over to the WIN, T-H-E-W-I-N online.com. And you can look us up under my name, Eileen Dillon or Dakey Fox, or you can look us up under Building Conscious Families or Emotionally Speaking. And let us know that you heard about those shows on this one. Give us your comments and join our listening audience there as well. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Dakey?
Yes, please. In that, the other request is that we are interested in dialogue at every level, not only with our children or in the families or with each other, but in the program structures themselves. And let us know what you'd like us to do a program on. What are you interested in? I think that that level of partnership is one that we haven't quite reached yet, and I'm looking forward to it.
Right. And that's been one of the things we were wanting to look at, too, is in parenting, listen to this. We have a comment on the chat. Dakey is such a neat lady. Just love her. She seems so delighted with life. How's that, Dakey?
I'm impressed.
We'll keep her. One of the issues that we were recently discussing that we might talk a little bit more about on Building Conscious Families is about hierarchy. Our whole world is set up on the basis of hierarchy right now, and our understanding is that we're moving toward a more egalitarian model, and that's what we also do in conscious families. And of course, people have concern, if you're egalitarian, how in the world can you have power? So I just want to give a quick example of that, about when my son Jonathan chose his own school for kindergarten. And here's a way that we cooperated. Kindergarten sort of snuck up on me. I was being a single parent and struggling along, and suddenly I realized, oh my goodness, he's supposed to be in kindergarten. And in the county I was living, everybody signed up for kindergarten when the child was born, or maybe before. It was very difficult to get into kindergarten. So I thought, how in the world am I going to do this? And what I decided is that I would pick 4 schools that I thought might be appropriate for my son in my general area, and he and I would go to visit them together. We would then think over our experience for 3 days, 72 hours following the 72-hour rule, and select a school. So I talked to him about it. He agreed to do that. We went to the local public school. He wouldn't get out of the car. He really didn't like it, and I didn't like it that much either, so we didn't go inside. We went next to a Catholic school in our area, and it was a very good school, and he was quite happy with it, until the teacher picked up a little bell and rang it, and all the children scrambled to put their things away, and he felt that that was so disrespectful, that the children were involved in activities, and the teacher, talk about hierarchy, the teacher had but to ring the bell, and the children had to stop what they were engrossed in, and he refused to go there. We then went to a Montessori school that he had attended before, and he sat quietly for a while and then said, "Can we go now?" And so we left. And finally, we went to another local Catholic school, and I got to talking with the teacher, and I really didn't notice that he had gotten down off of my lap and had gone to play. And as I was preparing to leave, I turned to him and said, "Jonathan, do you have any questions you'd like to ask?" And he said, "Yes, would you ask them if I can come to school here?" Well, this was also my choice, and I knew that I had right of first refusal. If he picked a school and it really wasn't right, I could say no, because I was the parent. And the teacher then said, "If you do think this is the right school, I would go sign up now, because we've had a number of people coming today, and I think we may not even have any openings in by tomorrow." And so I decided not to wait the 72 hours, went and signed up, and sure enough, the next day, there were no openings. And that's how we chose kindergarten.
Oh, and, you know, just for those who are leading busy lives as very responsible and caring parents, sometimes the idea of arranging and going to 4 schools may seem like a big task. However, how long was he at that school, and how successful was the experience, Eileen?
Well, he was there for 3 years, and it was a very good school, and, he had a great experience. It was really wonderful for him, including working out issues around religion, because he had a lot of internal issues that we could go into sometime about religion and whether he could accept the way that the Catholic Church looked at religion. Even when he was 5 and 6, he was struggling with this.
Yes, I had the same issues. But my point here is that the kind of energy that is gained by making that kind of investment is to be compared to the daily routine of not wanting to go to school that would have ensued for those 4 years in perhaps one form or another, and the deadening of his sense of being received and participating in life. And so there's sometimes in working consciously and working with energy, there's sometimes a greater investment at the beginning of a project, like what school to choose. And the authority that comes from the person who's got to receive it, which is our children, is really an important input. We have to have it, and it's worth the energy, because later on, if they're not engaged and they're not in that ownership of the choice of where they are and what they're doing, life is very much resistance-oriented and troubling. So I just put that in as one of the wonderful things, in addition to Betsy and the peanut butter and having a sense of themselves that comes from making this kind of investment as a parent.
So to those of you who are listening, this is a sample of what you get on Building Conscious Families. Now, over to emotionally speaking. I realized that I'm known as the emotional pro, and our original program on the Women's Information Network was called Taking My Turn, and it was for midlife women, and Paula Fellingham changed the focus of the WIN a bit, and so it was no longer relevant, and we decided to do emotionally speaking, and I am so thrilled. We're just at the beginning of it, but I'm already so excited about it, because what we're doing is we're inviting you and other women. We started out with 4 women. We meet in a conference center online. We had people from as far away as Switzerland and the East Coast, and with where are you now? New Mexico and California. That's where we all were. And we talked about what we learned in our family about emotions. What did our parents teach us? What impact did it have on us? What did we have to do to deal with it, and what were we passing on to people in our lives now, our children and the generations that come behind us? And it was a fascinating, wonderful discussion. And we're in process of setting up a new one, but I'm not going to tell you the theme of it. But you get the idea that what we do is we have a series of questions on a topic. We invite a very small group of people to come and talk with us, and you can use an assumed name if you don't want the world to know your personal business belongs to you. And then we talk about it, and we record that conversation and put it on the air. And that's what we're doing over and over and over again, and I'm so excited about it, Dakey.
Yes, and you know, we've coined the phrase of exploring the inner frontier in the age of intuition. And this is our way of bringing emotions into the personal and global conversation, because emotions are emotion, energy in motion. And with the need we have to begin to see things energetically, this is where we can start, because it's the common denominator of being human, and it's our access point to it's a wellspring that is ever flowing of our connection to everything else. Our emotions tell us what's going on. They put us in the flow of a whole different way of being, and talking about them is, I think, a very women-oriented thing right now, in that this is the Women's Information Network on which we are broadcasting, and women do have an understanding of energy and emotions in a way that, because of the hierarchy, has not been as well developed in men. And it's time that we start doing that out loud and in public and about mm-hmm. things that really matter.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just talking about emotions. We also share our emotional landscape, if you will. Well, it's time for us to have a second break, Dakey. You're listening to Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, and Life Coach Dakey Fox as we talk about two new internet radio programs, Emotionally Speaking and Building Conscious Families. And we'll be back after these messages.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com. All right, welcome back to Full Power Living, where today Dakey Fox, life coach, and I, Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, we're talking about two radio programs that we host on the Women's Information Network. That's the winonline.com, winonline.com. And Dakey, you know, in the break it struck me that we are, with these programs, doing the thing that we are moving toward doing in the world, and we're inviting other people to join us in this, and that is collaborating. Because of the increasing awareness that we're all connected, that we all are creators of the very experiences that we're living minute by minute, as well as our future experiences, then it becomes more important for us to work together to create things, to live harmoniously, to develop the lives that we want to lead. And that's the model that we're using on Emotionally Speaking.
Yes, one of the things about that is that we would like to be empowering at the level of the most important resource we have being our emotions in an energetically oriented world. How do we come in to own that experience of our emotions? Well, we practice it. We speak from it, and we speak to each other about it, and we relate to what happens energetically. And this is the way we can do that. And that element of the authority to own our experience is one of the things that speaks to collaboration. And it is an antidote to the authority of somebody else knows better that's part of the hierarchical and current way that we see the world. So it's a very important element. Very
right.
Basic, but very important.
It is. And that's how I got to be called the Emotional Pro, because I had a very difficult childhood and a huge amount of anger in particular as I grew up. And because I'm a psychotherapist, I thought, I have some ways to figure out how this all works. And horrifyingly, I found out that even therapists, I mean, I knew it from my experience, but I surveyed institutions that prepare therapists for becoming therapists and found out that they don't teach standalone courses on emotions. If you want to learn about anger, you're going to be taking a class on domestic violence, but you won't learn things like what is the root cause of anger and how can you change the things that cause you to feel angry and how can you set it up so that you can master anger. You don't learn those things. And those are the things that I wanted to learn. And so in my research for the last 40 years, essentially, I came to understand that emotions are given to us as tools. The reason we all have them, actually animals have them as well, they're tools. And the tools are for using to show us what direction to take, what actions to take. And when we work with them, we navigate our lives in a much easier, smoother, more fulfilling way. And so my aim actually is to help the world understand that emotions are tools and friends. And once you start working with them, like anger used to be the primary thing in my life. If you knew about me, you knew I was angry. I was an angry person. And now that I have learned some of the things that I needed to learn about mastering anger and mastering emotions, I think most people would be surprised if they didn't already know that I was an angry person, because that's not the primary thing about me anymore. In fact, emotions are very balanced for me now, which is a delight and was kind of a surprise for me. And that's the kind of thing we're addressing on Emotionally Speaking.
And you know, there, this is also not just about our personal level of emotions. The idea of having it out there and doing an emotionally speaking context is one where we're taking a view of the world as well as our lives in the world from an emotional viewpoint. So emotionally speaking, what's going on with the oil spills in the Gulf or the other issues that face us as a collective? And the reason that's important is because so far we kind of feel, when we feel from ourselves, we're just one little person in a world of much bigger problems. And yet, if we had a system and understood the importance of our contribution as individuals, then we would be able to understand that our viewpoint makes a difference. In that, we've spoken of this earlier today, there's no one right or right answer. There's no right wrong. And yet we have to find a way to be able to contribute and a commons that offers a space for the contribution of individuals, because with no one right answer, everybody's got an input. It's like the difference between a linear way of seeing things and a holographic way of seeing things. And for those people who might not understand a hologram, what creates a hologram, which probably you know from watching Star Wars and seeing Princess Leia projected out from R2-D2, the computer, and delivering a message 3D, 4 color. And what that is that all kind of different viewpoints from all around are focused in one place, and it creates a new picture and a new message for us. So when people are individually empowered to share their experience, we get a whole different view than what things look like from just one authoritarian viewpoint. Never in the time that I can imagine in my understanding of history and in my life has it been more important that we get the creative energies of many individuals focused on some of the intractable problems of the world that we face right now. So emotionally speaking is a way of building a foundation for that, where everyone has and experiences a respect for their own viewpoint and the ability to communicate it with others.
And in the last few minutes, you have had the evidence presented to you of why Dakey and I so enjoy working together and why our audiences benefit from our collaboration. Because I focus in on the individual level, the individual learning, the stories, and Dakey takes this overarching worldview and puts everything into a beautiful, beautiful perspective. And when I listen to you, Dakey, I just go, oh, that's right. That's what we're doing. Because I don't keep it so focused as you do on that level. And it's really wonderful. I totally agree with what you're saying. And yet, I'm so appreciative of the fact that you maintain that point of view. So we're looking at both the individual idiomatic level and the larger worldview level on both of these programs we've been talking about. And for me, it makes it very interesting, and the feedback we've gotten from others is that they find it interesting as well.
Well, and the thing that motivates me from the inside out in both the way in which I parented and the way I live my life and the expression here that we're talking about in this new venture is that we need to prepare ourselves to do what's never been done before. And what has worked and what doesn't work and what is happening all contribute to that. They're all inputs. But we have to remember that we need to do what's never been done before. We have challenges and opportunities to grow and to learn. And I have some visions in myself about what that will look like. I envision a world that works for everyone, and by the way, a life that works for me. So that's that combination of what works in the moment, but what also works for everyone, because we're here taking care of others as well as ourselves, and that's the key.
Well, you take me right back to what I was saying at the top of the show about building conscious families and what I wanted to accomplish with my children when they went into the world to get into situations that had never been done before. That what I wanted to do with them was to prepare them on their insides and help them to have substance and principles that they could operate from that were meaningful to them, so that when they went into those areas that had never been done before, they had a basis from which to work. And that's exactly what we're doing on a larger scale. As you're talking about, we're here helping you, the listener, to fill yourself up, to fill yourself out on the inside, so that when we get to what's never been done before, you're ready.
Right. And knowing oneself and owning what's important to you and how you see things, and being willing to learn, which are all components we've talked about here, then really gives you a foundation for being able to work with, align, and collaborate with others. And that's what we're about. We need to move to that place where we're truly able to work with one another, and especially that we don't let our predispositions and our emotional reactions stop us, but instead we move through those very difficult places where we think we're right and everybody else is wrong.
What? I have to move through that? I can't stay there? Well, one of the stuck places I was thinking about as you were talking is that I was taught in a class a few years ago that nobody wants to talk about learning. We should use the word discover instead of learn. And the fact is that we are here to learn, and when we accept that and move with it, life becomes so much easier. So I think one of the things we may have to give up is our antipathy to learning, and instead learn to discover how to embrace it.
Well, the authority that I get for that viewpoint is the discoveries of, I think, what I would call our greatest human minds, the scientists who have discovered the deep meanings of particulate matter in quantum physics, as well as those who look to the farthest reaches and perhaps even the beginning of time at the cosmic level. And what we're learning from that is that we are in an expanding universe. that the universe and the things that are around us don't repeat. They're created, and there's an evolution that builds on itself. And so there's a model from our greatest minds that says learning is what is the energy of the universe. It's always learning, and it's always expanding and building. And personally, I hold to the understanding that it is the universe that has invested itself in the human being, because it's in the human being that the universe is becoming conscious of itself. So there's a lot of permission here to say learning is what it's all about.
Good, good. I appreciate that. Well, you know, Dakey, once again, you have proven what an incredible human being and pro you are. Literally, we just called you up and said, guess what? We need you to host a radio program, and you've been doing a brilliant job with me here for the last hour. So I just want to appreciate you and thank you for your dedication to being of service in this world and for bringing all the beauty to the world that you do.
Thank you so much for receiving me and even liking it. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, well, I do. And I want to remind people that next week we have Jeffrey Hazlett, who's the author of The Mirror Test, and we're talking with him about how to know if your business and your life as well is breathing and whether it's healthy and what you can do to revive it if it's not. And upcoming, we also have mindfulness instructor Bob Stahl, who has a new mindfulness-based stress-reducing workbook. We have Dathan Paterno with a book called Desperately Seeking Parents. And we've invited Dr. Jeffrey Mason to return in November to talk with us about his latest book, The Dog Who Wouldn't Stop Loving. I'm very excited about that. I always enjoy talking with Dr. Mason. So, Dakey, thank you so much for being here on Full Power Living today. And want to thank producer Paul, whose idea it was to invite you. And it's no wonder he's been delighted with your appearance. And he's a very brilliant man who's backed me up for many years. So thank you, and Fresh Talk Media, Paul. And until next time, I'm your host, Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, and I'm reminding you, pay attention to what you want to become, not to what you want to overcome.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.